Lero have been enabled to join us and hear this great, great truth, amen, that the Lord has given us, even as he had predetermined and manifestly given our Pastor Ella Cutler, amen, pastorage over this assembly, and has led us through him. God has led us through him in the eternal doctrines of grace, our truth, the mystery, amen, and has caused him to document it greatly. So, according to God and his goodness and his grace unto our pastor and to us in blessing him, we bring to you Pastor Cutler to minister unto us the message of the gospel of the grace of God. Let's receive him with a very hearty amen. Amen.
Let us bow our heads. Oh, gracious God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, this hour, this opportunity to come before the people of God and express those glorious words that are life. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us, and we continue to look to you to continue to strengthen us. Now, Father, bless us in this day and in this hour. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us move forward in our continuum, and I want to take this opportunity to thank those that are here as well as those that are watching or listening by way of the webcast for your prayers, and amen. God is slowly bringing us back. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're just going to take it step by step as he has so ordained. We move in our continuum. Take your document, and hopefully you have at least the excerpts of this document. Repeat after me. And we're in volume 2. Scripture distinctions.
Scriptural distinctions.
Actualization in eternity.
Of actualization in eternity.
From manifestation in time.
From manifestation in time.
If you will recall, and this is volume 2, and for those that are tuned in by the webcast, if you go to our website, you will find this document in either the audio or video sector. There's an icon, you click on it, and this document will come up in its entirety. Hopefully, those of you who have received them, hold on to them, because as time in time we come before you, we shall be ministering from this document. Here at the Grace Gospel Church, as we have been directed, we put everything in writing. Everything that we preach or teach is in writing. There is nothing that we preach or teach that is not in writing. All right. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. Somebody said, you guys love Ephesians. Mm-hmm. Crazy about it. Chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now, in dealing with actualization and manifestation, we notice the two venues. Previously, today, Deacon Gavin was reading from the pastor's pen and expressing the locales of present now as it is distinguished from eternal now. And here we draw upon Word of God in distinguishing between them. Actualization is in eternity. That's where everything is. Manifestations come and go. Things come and they happen. Things happen and they pass. Mm-hmm. Amen. But eternity is. Whatever is eternal, it is. So when you say what is happening, you basically, you're talking about manifestation, because you don't have to say it's happening in eternality. It is. And it doesn't pass. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse, well, let's start with 17. Gavin is our designated reader. There are some things that we need, and I, to point out this morning. Now, in the document, there are some definitions. If you turn to the glossary of definitions, there are a few that I want to, that will be coming up. There's the whole array of definitions, but let's turn to the end section, M section, I should say. Well, Deacon, as I call it out, you give the definition. Manifestation.
Manifestation. The outward perceptible indication of revelation or materialization.
That's what you see. Here's a term that is going to come up again and again, and I think, you know, it's important that we convey it, and I really would like for it to become a working part of our vocabulary knowledge. That is metaphysics.
Metaphysics, philosophy related to the nature of being and beings in existence, time and space and causality on the basis of physical knowledge.
Notice causality. Everybody said causality.
Causality.
On the basis of physical knowledge. That's kind of shaky. I'll tell you that going before we even get out the gate. Because what you see is not always what it is. The next word is nascent. Everybody said nascent.
Nascent.
Nascent. Coming or having recently come into existence.
Nothing really, 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 really fits that description. By the time you see it, it has been predeterminately assigned an arrangement.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And that's anything and everything. In our lives, stuff pop up, and we think that that's the beginning of it. No, that's the reflection of it. Everything has purpose. In our upcoming conferences, we shall be dealing with God's purpose in life transactions. The purpose was there before the event arrived. In fact, the event came out of the purpose. God's purpose. So anything that shows up is really not new. The Old Testament, the Bible speaks of there's nothing new under the sun. And of course, that used to puzzle me. And until we actually got into the essence and God began to convey his eternal workings, nothing in time is new. It's a reflection of what already exists in eternity. All right. Two more words. Parameter.
Parameter. The limit, restriction, or boundary.
All right. And then the last one is possibility.
Possibility, an occurrence that is humanly perceived as a potential for successful or detrimental future development into existence.
And that's the way we see things. And what helps us out here as we shall move into our scripture is to know that all things are already predetermined. They are sourced from prearranged, listen to me, prearrangement. Predetermination. And they are complete or conclusive in God's purpose for them. They didn't just show up. Nothing just shows up. In this passage in Ephesians, we note some words there that we're going to get into a little, tell you right now, a little exegesis. We're going to get into the grammar. Don't nobody go crazy on me. Oh, God.
Yes, sir.
To actually see the conveyance of what is before us. You see, we live in a microcosm. Most of us, microcosm is that's your little world, and that fact that becomes the whole world. We live on the earth. Most of us, most of the time, don't even think about the cosmos. Because to us, the cosmos or the world is what's going on in my neighborhood, in my household, among those that I work with, I go to school with, my family. And while these things resonate so vividly in our minds and our spirits, do you know the greatest explosion, mega explosion on earth, is barely a flicker in the universe? No, I mean, you can set off 10 megatons of nuclear explosives on the earth, and the universe hardly noticed. As much as all I care about is how it impacts me. Well, this is why we're going to go into the universe. Someone said to someone one time and heard me preach, they said, does your pastor take y'all into all of that? Do you know that if you get the big picture, and God has got control of that, then whatever your little problem is, amen, while it's big to you, it's as small as the earth is in the universe, or smaller. Because even when you get to earth, you're only a dot on earth. How much space do you really occupy, square footage wise, on earth? Very highly noticeable. Very, very highly noticeable. Highly noticeable. And as big as the universe is, and as small as we are, and as great as the distance of the extents of the universe in comparison to the minuteness of the earth and you as a God on the earth, we are so far away yet so near because we're in Him. Give God a praise. In this passage, let's start with the 17th verse of the third chapter now in Ephesians. And of course, you're not going to hear a lot of preaching. from Ephesians. Not a whole lot. Because it's detailing the unseen, the untouchable. And it's up as the Holy Spirit conveys it to your heart, the unknowable.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
In the 17th verse, he concludes something that, and of course, is why we take time here at the Grace Gospel Ministry. No matter who's here, we're going to exegete. Yes, we're going to scripture and interpret to make sure that we have the correct utterance. Exegete. That's informative interpretation. So we go through the threefold method, which are what?
Grammatical,
historical,
and
contextual. All right, let's go backwards on those. Historical. Here we're in Ephesians, so what covenant are we in?
Grace.
Now, why is it important? If you're back in the Old Testament, depending upon where you are reading from, you may be under the beginning wherein we have innocence.
Yes,
our conscious in Genesis. You may move to Noah. And I'm not going to utilize the time to go through that because I've got a certain time I'm going to sit down. And you are into human government. You go a little further, you're into promise. And all you're going to get out of those areas are what's there. So when you get to law, only thing in law is what?
Law.
It's law. You move into what is orthodoxly called the New Testament, which is really the New Testament in the sense of Jeremiah 31, that it replaces the Old Testament, which is, and both of them, to the Commonwealth of Israel.
Absolutely.
All you're going to get out of that is the New Covenant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going to get the kingdom.
Yes.
But if you're in Ephesians, you're into grace, which is an entirely different covenant. And so what's there is according to the principles of grace. Its distinction is that it is conveying the unseen from the sense of dividing the Bible according to what is seen versus what is said. Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, we're not looking at the seen. Well, then what are you looking at, Paul? The unseen. Why? Because the seen is temporary. And the unseen is eternal. So we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, there's the declaration that it is by faith that we understand. Now, here's the difference of what he's saying here. Depending upon what you understand, remember one of the definitions that we went through earlier, metaphysical or metaphysics, is based upon knowledge that is derived from sight, from what we see. Now, you have to pitch that against knowledge that is derived from what God said. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it speaks to the meaning that what is seen is not where things are. I'm paraphrasing. So that the thing that's appearing is not coming out of the seen. Then where is it coming from? It's coming from the same. Who's saying? God's saying. How many? One. What did he say? In eternity. Where does it reside? In eternity. Now, if you don't understand that, when you get to the grace covenant, as we're going to get into these verses in a minute, you're not going to understand utterances. So, what we have here next is the context. Before we even get to the grammar, the context. So that when words are spoken, as we break down the grammar, we're all on the same page as to what is being conveyed. Brother Deacon, read that 17th verse. Start with the King James. We're not going to get through this today. I'll be back next Sunday, Lord willing.
Again, we're reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17.
Everybody got it? Amen?
Amen.
King James Version first. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith.
Stop. What is he saying? You go to the grammar. Read that from the Greek.
Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, from the interlinear Greek text. To dwell Christ through faith.
Stop. You see that first word there that in the Greek is katekisa. Kisa. That is an infinitive. So, Pastor, why you can just follow? Don't you want to know what if God is speaking? Don't you really want to be clear in what He's saying? An infinitive is a what? Verb and noun. Now, how we treat that in English is we put two in front of it. To go, to be, which gives an inference of future connotation. But that is a what, Brother Deacon?
Aorist.
That is an aorist infinitive. Now, the Holy Spirit and God speaks that way because He speaks from what?
Eternity.
Speaks from eternity. We see things from time, and in the present now, that thing is nascent. It's just arriving. But it came from somewhere. Already packaged.
Already.
It came from somewhere. That is translated dwelling. Christ dwelling how? Faith. again, I quickly, metaphysics, we perceive knowledge from seeing. That's physical. That's visible. Knowledge from seeing. That's reflective of what things are. Never what things, listen to me this morning. Never what things really are. Just what they seem to be. Physical. What's the opposite of physical? Spiritual. But most of us, we don't know what spiritual means. We think it's something mystical. Where I come from in the South, spooky. No. Physical is what is seen. Spiritual is what God is saying. That's it. So what is seen seem to convey knowledge to us through visuals. What is spiritual conveys the saying of God to us by the faith that He has given us to comprehend Him. And He has not given everybody faith. This is why this is nonsense to some people. I mean, we're out of our minds to come here each week, open a book, go into it, and try to dig out what God is saying. God wants to talk to us. Why doesn't He just voice and says, no, because there's a barrier between physical and spiritual. On one side is the seen. On the other side is the unseen. On the one side is temporary. On the other side is what? Eternal. And until time, with its temporary characteristics, is taken out of the way, that barrier will not be penetrated. You know, Jesus gave the parable of the man using what we call hermeneutic terminology in the Hebrew. Father Abraham, tell my brothers don't come down here. It's terrible down here. And the response, well, you got to, those that are there to tell them. They won't believe it. See? Even if they could hear you in the natural, in the physical, through the visible, if you can't ascertain the things of God's spiritual, you sure can't ascertain them physically. Many try to get through God through physical means. Not possible. Now you can touch the physical from physical, but you cannot touch spiritual from physical. Now you can touch the physical from spiritual. Now once you get the spiritual, now you got it all. And that's the difference between looking down on life versus looking around in life. Everybody said by faith. So this is the medium. Now, why does he say that so early in this passage? Why is it in Hebrews 11, verse 3? So by faith we understand. Because other than the faith that God gives you, you can't understand this. Right here, what Paul is dealing with in Ephesians chapter 1 is in eternity. Before time. There was nothing physically to see. What does before the creation or the foundation of the world means? Before there were individuals. The unseen. It speaks of the spirituality venue based purely upon what God said. Notice Paul very hardly ever gave any parables.
That's right.
Someone said to me sometime, why don't you teach in parables? After all, Jesus taught in parables. Well, what was Jesus teaching at the time? Kingdom. The new covenant.
Yes.
The new covenant is expressed from the horizontal plane of looking around. It is horizontally based. Even the new heaven and the new earth. Is a transition. When you get to the spiritual, the unseen, the unknowable, where perceptions can't really be described. One time Paul said, I was caught up into the third heavens. When I came back, tell you, I saw things that were unutterable. In other words, there's no language to express what I heard. And so, it is not through physical progressions that we understand God. He has given you a faith center that is connected with eternality.
That's right.
Where he is. So regardless of how hard we teach and preach up here, if you understand, say, thank you, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
I can't teach you anything. Neither any of the ministers up here. Not spiritually. Because only the Spirit, according to what is in Corinthians, he only knows the mind of God. He knows the Spirit. And only the one that knows it can teach it. And so when you understand God has conveyed his word to you through faith, the mechanism that is not physical. No. That, when he speaks of dwelling, and he has to be in faith because we're in Christ. We're in the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
When did we get in the body of Christ?
Eternity.
In eternity. Before time. You were in the body of Christ. I'm going slow today. You all, amen. I have to work my way back. You were in eternity in Christ. Where you were placed where? in eternity. You're in these bodies, conscious-wise, encapsulated in flesh, in time. But where you really are is where things really are, in eternity. So this is why he has the aorist tense. What is the aorist tense?
Completed
action. So your dwelling in Christ is a completed action in eternity. And he's saying it is conveyed to you by faith.
Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
Because that doesn't make sense. If I don't see it, it ain't there. There's nothing to, nothing in the scene. That was one of the expressions in the pastor's pen already. In the present now. Everybody say now.
Now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's gone. Say now again.
Now.
That one's gone. Then what else? What else is in eternity? Eternity about is about what is, not what comes and goes. Enduring, age enduring. That's what everlasting means. It means it outlasts the ages. It's there before the ages come, and it's there when the ages go, because it's there and it never moves. Pastor, why are we going through all this? Because if you don't get off of that wagon, what you see, life is going to beat you up. Life will wear you out. If you're on the train of visuals of what's before you, resonating through the flesh in the present now, it will wear you out. Where things are in the heavens, in Christ. Oh, give God a praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes.
You're in Christ, and you were in Christ. And you never left Christ. And when you leave these bodies, and you will leave these bodies.
Yes. Yes.
You haven't really moved anywhere. I give the illustration of you're on an airplane, right? And you're some, what, 5,000 feet in the air. And the plane is moving, what, 500 or 600 miles per hour? Follow now. You get up, gotta go to the restroom, and you walk through that plane from the front to the back. How fast are you moving? In fact, you're going reverse. But you're confined to the cabin of the airplane. So regardless of how you're moving, you're actually going 500 and some miles an hour. Except if you leave from Detroit and go to Los Angeles, as it relates to the earth, you haven't gone anywhere because you never left the earth. Earth is moving somewhat 1,000 miles an hour, something to hold me to the velocity. Through the solar system. But no matter where it goes, it hasn't gone anywhere. Why? Because it's in the solar system. The sun moves so fast with a velocity through the universe, through the galaxy, which is the Milky Way. But no matter where the sun goes, it never moves, because it never leaves the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is in one of the billions upon billions of galaxies in the universe. No matter where those galaxies move, how fast they go, they never leave the universe. But now the universe, according to Colossians 1:16, as well as everything else,
yes,
is in Christ.
Christ.
So no matter what happens in the universe, it never goes anywhere. Why? Because it's in Christ. Now here's the difference. Christ never moves. And everything is in him. He's unmovable. So if he's unmovable, then we're unmovable. And whatever goes down, we cannot be destroyed. Oh, give God a praise. So you're not just flung out here in the universe by yourself. You're in Christ. You're safe. You're safe.
Yes, indeed.
This is what he's saying here. He starts out by letting you know that because two dwell, haven't dwelled in Christ, and when you accept that by faith, you know you're safe.
Yes,
you have no business even saying, I'm saved, if you don't understand that you're safe. Saved means safe. Well, I don't know, all this stuff that's going on. Now listen, you never left the airplane, you never left the earth, you never left the solar system, you never left the galaxy, you never left the universe, and more importantly, you never left Christ dwelling. You understand? He says it's not just some enclosure you're in. Yeah, we're talking about life. Where is it impossible for you to be displaced? This is what everlasting and age enduring is talking about. It means you outlast the ages.
Absolutely.
Our salvation outlasts the ages.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Our security in Christ outlasts the ages.
Absolutely.
Our place as sons of God outlasts the ages. Heirs of God outlasts the ages. Heirs of that which belongs to Christ outlasts all the ages.
Oh.
This is what the gospel grace comes to do. It comes to let you know that you're safe. This is what this message does. You know why we're so shaky? Because most of us, we don't know who we are. We don't know where we are. Where are you?
In Christ.
In Christ. If the ages disappear, I'm in Christ. The earth melts with fervent heat. Where are you? In Christ.
In Christ.
The sun dies. Where are you? In Christ. You're in the solar system. That's in Christ. This is why our health problems, and I've had the occasion to go through health crises as we see them. But you know what was a blessing? No matter what was going down, I always had the confidence of who I was.
Thank you, Jesus.
Who I am.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Who I eternally
Eternal.
am, mm-hmm. and was, mm-hmm. before I ever got in this vile body.
Amen.
So if I'm in Christ before I manifested in the body, if I leave the body, where am I?
In Christ.
Where I always was, in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying here.
Mm-hmm.
Two haven't dwelled.
Mm-hmm.
By faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because my senses is not going to pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
My flesh is not going to pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember twice before I went under the knife. They call it under the knife. They were all around the surgeons and everything. The anesthesiologist was there. And I said to him, back that sort of kind of broke the quietness.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the professionalism. I'm sure they weren't supposed to do this. But I said to the anesthesiologist, I said, now, you're the man. So now you make sure that you put enough in me that I don't know what's going on. I said, because I'm not afraid of death, but I'm definitely afraid of pain. that sort of cracked him up. I said, I don't want to know nothing. I don't want to hear nothing. But beyond that, by faith, God has positioned my spirit,
yes.
to know that whatever happens, you cannot be moved. Don't give the glory to praise. In Christ, this is why we come. Because you don't know what lies ahead. You see all kind of things that are happening. I watch get most of my news through the internet. And there's always something on there. This is how the earth is going to end. This is what's going to destroy us. And you know, if you follow that line, you in that mode. And that's the only thing that moves you. You on a rocky ride or roller coaster. I remember some years ago, I went to New York to visit my brother Wallace while he was still there, my wife and I. She talked me into getting on a roller coaster. I didn't want to go. And that thing would go up. Then when it reached the peak, it would go down and your stomach would fall.
Mm-hmm.
I remember praying, oh Lord,
mm-hmm.
whenever this thing stops, I'll never go on a roller coaster anymore.
Amen.
And I remember we were on vacation some couple of years ago before I got sick. The family went into this theater and they put you into a man of virtuality. It's this wall-to-wall screen, and then they give you these, I call them goggles, or 3D glasses or whatever. And it was, the scenery was out on the choppy waters. And of course they had mist coming from them. Put you in the, riding along, and after a while, you feel like you're rocking in that boat. After a while, that thing came to a waterfall and failed, and everybody went, whoa, and I snatched off the glass. Not my stomach, not today. I mean, it was brought to reality. And the reality is not what you see. Visualizing a visions are really virtues. What's virtue? That's when you keep those glasses on and you drop and everybody went, whoa! As you're in Christ, life takes a turn. You know where you are. And you, even if you get caught up for a moment, the Holy Spirit comes and snatch off those goggles. And your stomach doesn't drop. Now, this goes for everything that's happening to us on a daily basis. And I'm almost through. What happens to us on a daily basis? So we get caught up in virtuality. Because what we resonate with in the flesh seems more real to us. When you're in that airplane, it just seems like basically just whatever's going on in that airplane at the moment is more resonating to you, right? Or what's going on in the news, on the earth. And like I said, whatever happens on the earth, the greatest explosion is merely a flicker. In fact, the universe doesn't even know. And our conference is coming up in a few weeks. We've taken some shots and we have our PowerPoint. And thank God, amen, for Brother Victor. We're trying to work this out. It's like you're going to move through space. Hundreds of billions of light years. And after you've gone through all of that, you haven't even moved. That's what kingdom does today. Oh, force you to say, I shall not be moved. I don't know what they were thinking about me. Remember Paul as he left Ephesus for the last time. And you see, I have gone through many things, but none of them moved me. What are you talking about, Paul? None of them moved you. That was one of the places you went through and they chased you out of. He wasn't talking about he wasn't ever moved. From one point in the plane, I'm using this analogy, to another point. But the plane didn't move because it never left the earth. And the earth never left the solar system. And the solar system never left the galaxy. And the galaxy never left the universe. And the universe can't leave Christ because there's nowhere else he can dwell. So in that sense, cannot be moved. Now some very harrowing things are going to come down in the next several decades. Some of us won't be around to see it. At my age, I probably won't. But some of you will, the younger folk. This is what Paul talks about when he says being tossed and driven to and fro. By every wind a doctrine. This is what he speaks of. Of those who are sent anywhere else except in Christ. This is what he speaks about in one place. As he finishes the letter, he said, be steadfast. Unmovable. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Always abounding. And I better shift the gear down. I can see the look on my wife's face. Always abounding. In the Lord. For you know that you're what? It's not in vain. Where? In the Lord. You see how everything goes back in Christ? I don't think we have enough appreciation about the terminology in Christ. Your hope?
Yes.
Your future?
Yes.
In Christ. Everything. In Christ. In Christ. And so when we sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. But holy, can you say holy? Can you say holy? Completely, can you say completely? Can you say completely? Lean on Jesus' name, on Christ. Can you say on Christ? Can you say on Christ? The Son of Rock I stand. Oh my God, I better quit. I'll be back next week. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.